just finished up a vacation Bible school, and it's now the only one that does it during the day. Their area is really difficult to run buses at night, and so it's down towards the Pittsburgh area, Gannett, Pennsylvania. So we had probably 10 or 15 kids get saved, but we had an adult get saved there too. I mean, just amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing what God can do if we just let Him, amen? It really is. So if you can't be here and you can't help serve or whatever, then you could pray, amen? You could pray. That would be a good thing. We always need a lot of prayer, so appreciate your prayer this week, and we're excited, amen? Bring your pirate hat with you. Come on, amen. You got to be dressed up as a pirate. Come on. That's right. You don't know. Aye, Captain. All right, Psalm 37. Let's get into the message. Psalm 37. Good to see everybody. Psalm 37 will be there tonight. The four knots of the Christian life. And I don't mean tying the knot, but I mean the knot. Amen. Hello. Now, I did tie the knot 40 years ago. Amen. So I'm doing pretty good right now. Amen. I married somebody who loved me as much as I love myself. Yes, wait there a little bit. Hold it. Look, Mrs. Gilmore loves that. But that's fact. I mean, you're not going to marry somebody that doesn't like you just as much as you like yourself, right? Seriously. I mean, really. I mean, it's kind of dumb, right, to like somebody who doesn't really like you? Really? Are you nuts? Come on. Oh, it got real quiet in here. Amen? Woo! Mrs. Gilmore gave a look. All right? Psalm 37, beginning of verse number 1. Mrs. Gilmore loves me to death. You know that, right? Okay. Anyway, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord, and I herb. See, I do it all the time. Like, I have to look at my wife, because sometimes H-E-R-B, when you say it to a person, it's herb. When you're using it in this phrase, it's herb. And sometimes I have to look at my wife, amen, like, because I always get it mixed up. And I just messed it up. Amen. It's okay. I do. There's a herb at our college. Amen. So whatever. Amen. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We'll read down to verse number 7. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteous as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Skip on down, if you would, to verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity that I get to preach here tonight. I don't take it lightly that the preacher gives up his pulpit. And I pray, Lord God, that you would use your word tonight. I pray you challenge us and change us to be more like thee. I pray if there's anybody here tonight that's not 100% sure that they're on the way to heaven, I pray they get it settled tonight. And I pray that you use your word, move me out of the way, might we hear from heaven tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first, and if you look at Psalm 37, the beginning of Psalm 37 really talks about, shows the happy state of the godly and the short-lived of the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in life I start to compare. I say, okay, the wicked are living like this. Come on. And why are they so blessed and I got so many troubles? Ever been there? Come on now. Let me just help you here. Well, the bottom line is, if they're getting their reward now, we're getting our reward later. And you know what? For us, that's a little hard sometimes. To remember, in light of everything, eternity is coming. And we don't know when that's going to be. I far want it to be the undertaker rather than the undertaker. Be a whole lot cheaper. Amen. Seriously, a whole lot cheaper. But I think sometimes we compare about this lost world and how good we think they really have it. To be honest with you, they don't have much peace, amen? They think they do because they put all their peace in one basket. the things of this world. And I don't know about you, but things can't make you happy. You might be okay for a little while, but they can't make you happy. Eternity will make you happy, amen? In the light of eternity, you can live a life that's pleasing to God and a life, you're ready, that you're anticipating what's going to happen. So I'm going to look tonight in some words tonight, I believe, that the Christian needs not to have. And the first word we want to look at is fret not. So we're in Psalm 37. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1. And then also in verse number 8 uses the word again. Verse number 7 and 8. Here we go. Fret not thyself because evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way. Verse number 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself anywise to do evil. The first word I'm going to look at, and the word the Christian should not have, is fretting. It's close related to worry. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we worry about things that never happen. Let me help you here. Worry never solved a problem. Worry never paid a debt. Worry never made an enemy a friend. And worry is the interest paid by those who borrow trouble. And sometimes the troubles of tomorrow never come. I don't know. Have you ever been there? Like, you're worrying about something tomorrow, but it doesn't ever happen. But you still worry about it. That's human. That's the humanness in us. We just worry. Like, for instance, like, you ready? Watch. So a mortgage is due once a month. So we worry about it the whole month if we're going to have money for it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not good. It's not good. You know what that is? That's fretting about things that, hello, you have no control over. You need to allow God to work it out. So, how do you get over the fretting? How do you get over the worry? Number one, first thing you do is you live one day at a time. So today is church. It's Sunday. So I get to go to church. I don't have to go to church, but I get to go to church. That's the difference, right? I feel like I'm having a good day, number one, when I'm not in the hospital. I think I'm doing good. Preacher knows what I'm talking about. When I'm not in the hospital, I'm good. Seriously. You ready? When I'm not 6 feet under and dead, I'm having a good day. Hello? It's the way we look at things. Sometimes in life, we are very pessimistic. We really are. Here you go. So we pass out 2,400 flyers. I mean, like, how many kids are really going to come? Hello? If one comes, it's good. Hello? If one hears the word of God, it's good. You say, well, yeah. No. God always blesses the effort. Now, don't get trapped in this stuff. God always blesses the effort. And you might not see it now in Vacation Bible School this year. You might see it next year. You might see it down the road. But you don't really know. Listen, leave that all to God. God's in control. Live one day at a time. Hello? We all got aches. We all got pains. We're all getting older. Amen? I don't know if you know this or not. We're not getting younger. Amen? Wife just had the 60th birthday, and I'm 61. So I'm just saying. Hello? I'm just saying we're still doing VBS. Seriously? My wife and I talk about it all the time. Like, how long are we going to do Vacation Bible School? As long as God allows me. Seriously. As long as God's allowed. Now, here's what I found out. As you get older, you start to change. Not good. It's not good. It's not good. Hello? You start thinking a different way. And I am not a negative kind of guy. But I'm finding myself that I got to fight negativity. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. So you need to live one day at a time. Hello? You have no idea what's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Hello? Number two, you ready? Lift someone else's burden each day. Ooh. All right, let me help you here. In this church, there are people in here who carry burdens. Now, some God wants you to cast your burden off so you can pick somebody else's, but there's other you have to hold that you actually bear. But we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you reached out and helped somebody else that couldn't give anything in return? Can you imagine? Could you imagine if every independent fundamental Baptist church in America would do that? Seriously. To be honest with you, here's where we're at. You ready? Sometimes we're just a little selfish. Like, you got to take care of number one. My wife knows that because I'm high maintenance. Amen? Seriously. I'm high maintenance. Takes a lot to take care of me. Amen? Julio, you know what I'm talking about, right? I know you're high maintenance too. Amen? Got a great wife, so you're doing all right. Hey, I'm just saying. But we're supposed to go out and help with somebody else's burden. This morning we were at Pastor Dingus's church, and I'm the kind of guy who's never met a stranger, so I started wandering around in classes. And there was a new girl. I don't even know. I've never been in that church. First time I've been at church, and there was a new girl. She just started coming to church. Her name was Valerie. And she began to, you know, sometimes when you talk to people, they just give you the hole and open up. They're just looking for somebody to talk to them. Just give them a little ear. Like listen. Like, you know, my wife and I gets mad at me sometimes. She'll be talking to me, but I'm not even listening to her. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine I would be like that? Just happened a little bit ago when we were out eating. You're not paying attention to me. You know, like when you tell your kids, pay attention to what I'm saying. You have to look them in the eyeball because they're off somewhere in left field somewhere. Amen? Well, that's where I am sometimes. But I literally tried to listen to what she had to say. And then I was teaching a Sunday school class, and there was a new fellow. He just got saved not too long ago. His name is Anthony. And he's in, we got to get him a Bible. Mark, one of those tabs. Anyway, I didn't tell him that, but we need to do that. Anyway, so he's having a hard time finding where everything is. I'm thinking, I said, Anthony, relax. I was the same place you were. I wasn't always saved, and neither were you. Thank you very much. I mean, I didn't get saved until I was 25 years old, and I remember going to a Baptist church and trying to find out where the scripture's found. I'm a preacher now, and sometimes I got to ask myself, well, where was that Bible? Where's that chapter found in the Bible? And which, now I know you're perfect, so just adjust your halo a little bit, okay? But you get to the place where you get older, and I say this all the time, and you put things in a secret place. The problem is you don't remember where the secret place was. And then you take your phone and you put it in the notes, but you forget what the note was. I'm just waiting to see if I'm on the same page here, you know what I mean? I know Pastor Gilmore's not down that road, but anyway, I'm just saying. So live one day at a time. Lift someone else's burden. This week, there's going to be kids who don't have the perfect home life. Seriously. It's not our job for them when they come in to yell at them. I don't yell at kids. I want to yell at kids sometimes, but I don't. I just can't. Then you'll hear a pyramid go, shh. No, we don't even need shh. Hello? We just can't. And it doesn't matter if it's 5 or it's 500, they'll be quiet. They know what to expect. But there's going to be some kids who need somebody to lift their burden. I think it's counterproductive that if you bring kids into your church and all you do is yell at them. That's what they get at home. Seriously? So you're going to need somebody to lift somebody else's burden. Like that lady saying, she wants to come here to just be, probably to check out the church and to see how things are run, to make sure, because she just doesn't want, I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate it. Sometimes it blows my mind away that somebody lets their kid come from their house and get on the bus without them going. Like, you have no idea what's going on at that church. Seriously. I mean, really, that's pretty unbelievable when you think about it. And the last one is this. So live one day at a time. Lift someone else's burden. Number three, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, familiar portion of Scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So let me ask you a question. So when you start fretting and when you start worrying, what's usually happen? You ready? God is not in the equation. It's all depending upon you. Hey, how many here have problems? Raise your hand. If you don't have your hand up, you got problems. Because everybody's got problems. Amen? Life is, listen, I say it all the time, and I'll say it till I die. Life is not fair. It's not fair. It wasn't fair to Jesus, so it's not going to be fair to you. Hello? So don't fret about it. God's in control anyway, right? Listen, I think this is amazing, but it's very true. I think sometimes we say that God's in control, but we don't live like that. I mean, really, can I ask you a question? Did you ever pray about something, and then God answers your prayer, and you're shocked the answer to prayer? I'm thinking like God's thinking like, what in the world is going on with these people? How fickle are they? Hello? Can't fret. God's in control, man. Now, I'm not saying you eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. I'm not talking about living carelessly. But in the light of the Lord, allow God to do his work. Hello? Listen, there's going to be problems, and you've got to have adjustments. Pastor Videnis says it all the time, bumps are what you climb on, not what holds you back. And he lives in that all the time. Seriously. So don't fret about it. Don't fret about it. Number two, fear not. Fret not, fear not. Woo! Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at somebody in the Bible. Peter. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, beginning in verse number 22. Now, before this, in the context, there is a little young lad gives up his lunch. How many loaves did he have? Good. And how many fishes? Good. Way to go. Five loaves and two fishes. Not a trick question. Okay, seriously. Do you ever have somebody like they like trip you up? I used to have a Bible school teacher was like that. Drove me insane. He'd always look to trip you up. Give you some kind of question that could be true or false. I despise that kind of guy. But anyway, he's a great Bible teacher. But now listen for a minute. So here's a little lad. He gives up his lunch. The lunch mommy gave him. He's following Jesus. Back then, food's really precious. But he decides to give it and feeds 5,000 besides, you ready? Women and children. We're still talking about him today, by the way. He gave, you ready? Watch. He gave everything he had. You know what? Watch. He had no fear and no fret about tomorrow. And then they got 12 extra baskets. How'd that work out for him, you think? What kind of story do you think he told when he got home? Are you kidding me? Seriously. I think sometimes, really, honestly, I believe this in my own heart. What God could do if I just gave, not of my abundance, but I gave sacrificially. What God could do. So we come into the story now, and here's Peter, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Wait a second. You're talking about the Son of God. And he's got to pull apart from everybody else and get in the mountain to pray. I know about you, that brings heavy conviction on my heart. Because I wonder sometimes, like, how many times did God want me to pray, and like, I'm too busy. Like, I'm, you know what I have going on, God? Hello? Son of God. Now, we're talking about somebody who's 100% man, 100% God. He's got to get apart to pray. Do you know there's sometimes in life you just got to get apart to pray. You just got to get away. Now, in our case, and my wife and I have two different places to go. She goes upstairs, and I go downstairs to the man cave. Amen? And my man cave, I got a man cave. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you don't, whatever. We do play Hallmark movies there sometimes in a man cave, amen? But sports, but, you know, it's bad when you have to play Hallmark movies because you know the beginning and you know the end for every Hallmark movie. I mean, I'm just really, seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous, amen? But you got to keep mama happy, amen? Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. How many knows that I'm talking about right there? Come on. Seriously, sometimes you got to have a little sacrifice. But here's a son of God who feels the need to pray. Ooh. Because being in construction for so many years, so many times, I just do things automatically. Sometimes I get ahead of God. And then you make a mistake. And then God said, how'd that work out for you? Hello? I'm getting a little smarter these days. Amen? Hello? I might be a little dumb, but I'm not stupid. Sometimes I'm hard-headed. Not even a little bit, right, Preach? Yeah, amen. But hey, listen. If the Son of God had to get apart somewhere to pray, you watch it. And the next part of the verse says, watch what the next part of the verse says. You ready? And when the evening was come, he was there. Where was he with? With a bunch of people? No, he's alone. Now listen, if I go where my wife is having devotions, then we're going to talk. So I can't go where she is. I got to stay where I'm supposed to be. Listen. And sometimes in life, you ready? Watch. I'm probably a little burdened about women, of them trying to keep fellowship with God. Especially if you got youngins. You got to take care of kids, and then you got to take care of your husband. I mean, seriously, that's like a full-time job. And then you got to pray. And then, watch. And then in this day and age, people are working beside that. Then you got to come home and clean. Then you got to go home and cook. Really? Difficult. It's not easy. I know one thing. I'm glad I'm not a woman and I'm not changing into one. Amen. I'm just saying that. Amen. Hello. I ain't going down that road. I like it just the way I am. Seriously. Hello. I'm good where I am. Amen. I have no inclination to do that. Hello. But there ought to be, number one, there ought to be a place where you go. There's got to be a place. You ready? Watch. There has to be a time. Sometimes mamas have to get up early. Sometimes daddy's got to get up early. But you got to spend time with God. You got to read your Bible and you got to pray. Every day. Don't get away from the basics. You got to do it. All right, here we go. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for what? Fear. I guess if I saw somebody walking on the water, and it's early in the morning, I'm thinking I'm a little frightened too. Amen? I don't know if you've ever had some stuff happen to you, but I've had some stuff happen to me in the inner city of Philadelphia. I'll tell you a little story. I was driving the bus for Wednesday night pickup. I was at Bethel Baptist Church at the time. And we had a place. It was old, dilapidated garages, but it kept the buses safe from getting the windows broken. Because if you kept them outside, they'd break all the windows, and they did that before. And I remember going there. Before Wednesday night would come, you'd always go to check to make sure the bus would start. Because you know, inevitably, when you go there, it's not going to start. That's just. So, I went and started it. It was in the afternoon, and so I'm going back there. It's about 5 o'clock. It's just getting dark, and right around 5, 6 o'clock. And I go to start the bus. Now, to get in there, to get the bus out, you got to lift the doors up. And then lift them up, and then put them on each side to get the bus through. So, I mean, just bad news. And I get in there to start the bus. And when I go to start the bus, it goes. Are you kidding me? I just tried this few hours ago, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. Mechanic man, you know what I'm saying. So now I go hook up jumper cables to it with my truck. And it still goes. Now I'm thinking something's wrong here. Now I feel like there's somebody else in the garage besides me. It ain't a body, it's a spirit. Hello. And the back of my hair on my neck, because I don't have much on my head, is standing up. And the only thing I thought to do at that moment was to pray. And I remember praying, Lord, please put your blood about this place, and I rebuke this demon in the name of Jesus. Amen. Woo! Let me tell you something. The demons, you ready? Whoever was in there went out. A big, mighty, rushing wind, and those doors got lifted up and came closing like this, and opened right back up again. Whoa, my soul. Lord have mercy. Hello? And I got in the bus. Come on. And it started right up. Yeah! I said, glory to God. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. The power of prayer. And what fretting does and what fearing does is it paralyzes the Christian. And the world out here will give you all kinds of solutions for that. They'll give you drugs. They'll medicate you. Come on, they'll give you alcohol. Seriously. Anything to get you totally away from how you're really supposed to feel and exist. They'll give you all the solutions, but not the right solution. Hey, let me just pause here for a minute. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about people and how great this person is or that person is. The bottom line is, you ready? Watch it. Unless they believed in Jesus as their personal Savior, they're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter what great things they've done. It's matter who they know. Seriously. Because, listen, and this is the burden we need to have. Because if they die, just like those 50 died, who knows where they're going? It's our responsibility to reach people with the gospel. Because you don't know when you're going to die, and they don't know when they're going to die. But it's our responsibility. Couple verses. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with the right hand of righteousness. Fear is a great enemy of the human race. It inhibits, it reduces us, and causes us to live as spiritual midgets. Fear is the great enemy of faith. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in myself. No, I will trust in Him. Hey. So if you fret, you're worrywart. If you fear, you got lack of faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I don't know about you, but I could use a little more faith myself in my life. Don't allow the devil to mess your life up. Come on, seriously. He's the accuser of the brethren. You ready? Watch. And if you're saved here today, he hates you. He hates Christ and he hates you because you represent Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, you ready? I understood what it was. The battle was I was about ready to enter into, but I didn't realize I was going to go into a battle because I thought everything was going pretty good. And then once I got saved, the battle begun. Hello? And it's not end until we get the glory. Amen? Or you die and leave this world. Amen? But don't be a person who frets or fears. Let's finish. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I want you to look at and see what happens. Verse number 27, still in Matthew 14. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So now watch. So the Lord's saying, it's me. Don't be afraid. Watch. Listen to me. Has the Lord ever said that to you and you're still afraid? Been there, done that? Got a t-shirt for it. Hello, I need some kind of reassurance. All right, here you go. So watch. Watch the next person who speaks. You ready? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto you under the water. Now watch. Didn't the Lord just say who it was? But Peter needs to make, he's got assurance of this, right? Because he's about ready to step out of the boat. Now, I don't know about you. Not me. I ain't getting out of that boat. Hello? Peter still holds the water walking record. Amen? Nobody else did it but Jesus. Hello? Now watch. As long as he keeps his eyes focused on Jesus, he walks on water. The instant he takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks at the surroundings the way the water is, he begins to sink. And so goes our lives, because as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and not on our surroundings and not on our problems, and we live above those and we allow the Lord to work, we're doing okay. But that's not an easy thing to do. Because the devil would like you to focus on what's going on in your life. Now, watch, watch. Here's what I love about it. Do you know that Peter didn't have to get in a long prayer? He just had to say, "Help!" And the Lord saved him just like that. Woo! Aren't you glad that we don't have to go to a person before we go to God? This is an amazing thing. Boldly into the throne of grace. Anytime. Anytime. So let me ask a question. So how much do you go into the throne of grace? Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Listen very carefully. This week, you really need to pray. Because the devil is going to fight tooth and nail this week. And don't think things are not going to happen, because they're going to. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? He's not in control. We got a God a whole lot bigger than that. Amen? Come on, seriously. Fear robs the soul of sunshine and turns an optimist into a pessimist. John 14, 1 and 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Woo! Guess what? One day we're going to glory. Amen? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't fret. Don't fear. It's okay. God's in control. Amen? God is in control. God's in control. All right. I got to hurry up because you're holding me up. All right. Here we go. Point number three is faint not. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Every time I say Proverbs, I want to turn to Psalms. It's just wild. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. Faint not is the next one. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of us know people who came to church? Ready? We're faithful to church. Even might have joined the church. And as soon as problems, and as soon as adversity came, they're gone. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. How many here know people like that? I mean, seriously. I say this all the time. You ready? Could you imagine if every independent fundamental Baptist church in America just could reach 10% who are no longer in the church? Ooh! Come on, think about that for a minute. You couldn't build a building big enough. Seriously. That's a lot of them. So what happens? Their focus gets messed up. And their bottom line is thinking they're going to do it in their flesh. And when adversity comes, guess what? And listen to me very carefully. Don't ever think that can't happen to you. Because the day when you think it's not going to happen to you is going to happen to you. Seriously. You just need to make sure. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Luke 18, 1 said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." So the solution to fainting is praying. Now, can I be transparent with you? You ready? This is easy. You ready? This is hard. this is more work than this is. I'm just being honest with you. Just being honest with you. To pray, you have to concentrate on what you're doing. Now, you should do that with your Bible reading, because you shouldn't just go through motion, or because you have to. Like, you shouldn't come to church, you ready, because you're afraid of what somebody else thinks. We're not accountable. I mean, we should be accountable for a church member here, but we're ultimately accountable to God. So that's far better than man, right? And far bigger than man. But listen, it takes time to pray. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm supposed to be worshiping the Lord and I'm supposed to be praising God, I'm concerned about what I need to get answered. And I want to throw that up first. And I already know that ain't right. I'm supposed to be worshiping Him. Come on, seriously. I think when we get to heaven, it's going to transform and blow our minds. Seriously. But that's what it's all about. It's putting Him first. He's priority. You're not. Seriously, listen to me. And if you're married, your wife or your husband is not the priority. God is. I'm just saying. Because when things happen and adversity comes, come on, listen. My wife and I talked about it a long time. I mean, we have kids, you know, ready, watch. We didn't put our marriage off because we got kids coming. Because one day the kids are going to leave. Then it's me and mama. So what if me and mama can't get along? Hello? You know how many marriages are set up that way today? They're setting up to fail. Because when things happen, you're just going to faint. And you're going to say, well, where are the kids at? You big baby? Suck it up already, Bucky. Amen? Seriously. You make it work. Make it work. Hello, we don't have a perfect marriage. You have to work in marriage. It's not an easy thing. Because we don't think the same way. Women do not think the same way men do. Seriously. I mean, listen, you married your wife and you're expecting her. Come on now. Come on, babes, you know the statement. I always mess it up. There you go. Hello. Okay, here's the statement. Men marry a woman hoping she stays the same. Hoping she never did. Oh, yeah. The woman gets married to the man and thinks she's going to change him. Hello. How's that working out right now? And the man is marrying the woman hoping she never changes. I don't know if you know this or not, women think a little different than we do. Like the first shock was when you got married and you came in the bedroom and all of a sudden your clothes didn't go in the hamper. And she has to remind you that this is not mommy taking care of you. Hello, the battle begins. I'm just saying. Adversity. So, do you get over it, or do you leave? Seriously, that's where we're at today, you know, right? People don't want to work at it, they just want to leave. And I'm not saying some situations you can't change. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about the average run-of-the-mill person who just doesn't want to work at it. Because it takes work. It's got to be some sacrifice. There's sometimes you got to do something for your wife or your husband, and then vice versa, and they got to do for you, and that's how it works out. Hello, like I like to be in the man cave, and I want to be served. Everybody's looking at me a little cocky. Watch. But I'll serve my wife. Come on. Do you understand that's how it works? It's not all one-sided. You understand? She'll serve me because I'll serve her. I'm not some guy. Oh, hello, you're not going to get much done with that. Come on, Gestapo. Hello, ain't happening. So here you go. Watch, I'm coming around where I was. Okay, you ready? Went down a little rabbit trail, but it's okay. Amen. Don't fret, don't fear, and don't faint. And last one, The last one you can't, forget not. Forget not. Let me say a couple things about some people in the Bible said this about fainting. Spurgeon said, the snail reached the ark by crawling 1 centimeter at a time. Huh. Hello? How long did it take a snail to get to the ark? A long time. Amen? Noah wept. That's probably why he kept the door open a little bit longer. But anyway. Noah Webster labored for 36 years writing his dictionary. Let me ask a question. How do you think Noah Webster could write a dictionary? Because God gave him a brain. Hello? Seriously. Me, that's the farthest thing from my mind. Amen? Writing a dictionary. Are you kidding me? Here we go. Leonardo da Vinci worked on the painting of the Last Supper for 10 years, often so absorbed he forgot to eat for whole days. Not me. Seriously? Like when I'm hungry, I want to eat. Like right now, I'm feeling a little hunger coming on. You know what I'm talking about? And you're saying, like, hurry up and get dumb, will you? Hello? One other one, I'm finished. William Carey labored for 7 years before he led one Christ to Burma. So watch. So imagine working 7 years and being a missionary for somebody and nobody gets saved the first 7 years. Do you know how many people would get rid of that missionary? Well, it's getting real quiet right now. But we base things upon that when really we have no idea. Third world country people think a whole lot different than we do. They think in pictures. They think a different side of the brain. It takes time. And last point, and I'm finished, forget not. Forget not. Turn to Psalm 103. We're coming around third. We're almost done. It's history, nothing but a mystery. Amen? Psalm 103, and we'll be finished. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's okay. We're going to be done. That's just it. That's how it goes. I mean, when you're in the pulpit, like, hello, unless the preacher's got a special button here to let you loose. Amen? Let you go. 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within him. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We should never forget what God has done for us. Listen to me. Don't ever forget what people have paid for us to have freedom today in this country. Some gave all gave some. Seriously. And they're trying to take that away from us. We got to have to stand up and fight. That's just the way it's going to be. Seriously. Now they want to change bathrooms because of 0.3% of the people. I'm glad Target is, ready, $2.5 million down in their stock. I hope the store closes. Seriously. I'm just saying. Hey. There's coming a day. It's here. When wrong is right, come on now, and right is wrong. We're there. We are there. We are living in that day. And I think about it often. Would God have to apologize? Or would we have to apologize the way it was with Sodom and Gomorrah and they were destroyed? And where are we at today? Seriously. Hey, let me help you here. It's all going to be settled one day. Woo-wee! Glory to God, it's all going to be settled. It doesn't depend upon me, it depends upon him. But listen, when you're in it, you can't fret about it. You can't fear about it. God's in control. Hey, we worry about all kinds of stuff. We wonder if we're in a place where we're safe today. Just think about it for a minute. You can't faint. You ready? And watch, with it all, summing it all up, never forget how good God has been to you. No matter how bad this country is, it's better than living in a third world country. Seriously. So let's allow God to do his work. And let's, you ready? Watch, I feel this way. If you're still alive, then God's got a plan for you. If not, he would have taken you home. And if revival is impossible, then let's shut the book and go home and close the doors. But it only takes one. Only takes one. God's just looking for one. Are we willing to pay the price for that? Are we willing for God to do something in our lives that could change, come on, the destiny of this nation? I'm going to help you here. You ready? Watch. It's not going to be in the White House. Shake your head. It's not. It's going to be through the church house. And we're in the condition today in America that we are because the church house hasn't done the job. That's me and you. We just haven't done the job. Because back in the day, come on, they had the Bible in the public school. They could pray openly. They weren't burning flags. Come on now. Things have changed. I don't know if you noticed or not, but things have changed. But we have an opportunity to make some changes. So let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, your love, your mercy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the salvation that I have. And I try not to ever take that for granted. And I pray that you help us tonight to be focused, to never forget that we shouldn't fret about things. We shouldn't fear. And we can't faint. Now's the time to take a stand. And then, Lord, help us never to forget how good you've been to us. I could go on all night. I pray you'd use your word tonight, speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to do business with you. And we'll be careful to give the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.